There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more. So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Infinity Warm-Up. For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, the Infinity Warm-Up was something we did last year, starting from Iron Man, going all the way up to Infinity War. Each week, we had a group of teens that joined us, going through chapter by chapter from the very beginning, all the way up to Infinity War. And the crew has decided they wanted to get the band back together to get us up to Endgame. So technically, we should change the title of this thing, but I'm not going to.
And by the crew, we mean two people.
And you're right, our crew's a little small this time.
Which is a good thing.
It's good, but I blame Thanos. It's Thanos' fault that we had a couple of last-minute cancellations. But it is so nice to have back Riley and Mackenzie. Welcome back, guys.
I was freaking out when I found out we were getting the team back together. I'm like, yes! I'm so excited. I was literally like, hey, Mom, I'm going to be going back to the group. She's like, okay, how much is this costing me? It's free, dude. Like,
well, a lot's happened since we did this last time. Actually, the Teen Fish podcast was birthed from Infinity Warm-Up crew, but it's been so long since we watched those 19 films in a row. We will do Captain Marvel. Instead of doing one each week as we did before, we will do one each month as the films come out. Well, this week we're kicking it off with Ant-Man and the Wasp. We'll be back with Captain Marvel, comes out next month, and then we'll be back when Endgame comes out the month after that, which is crazy to me that they're coming out like 4 or 5 weeks apart. But I think we should have a recap of everything that's happened in the MCU. So I think I'd like to see Mackenzie do it in the style of Luis from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I'll screw this up so bad, though.
Just let's
Can
see
I
what
really
happens.
Help me.
I haven't seen like half of the Iron Man movies. I saw like the first one.
I've seen clips of the Iron Man movies.
Let's see how it goes. What? Give us a Luis summary of 19 films.
Yeah, so like Iron Man's in this like cool little like palace, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna make this suit, and then at the end of the doing a terrible job.
I don't think that's how it happened.
And Tony starts like, dang, man, I'm going to make this suit. And then Thanos snapped his fingers, and that's all you needed to know.
I think that's everything.
That is perfect.
And then we got this guy with a hammer, and he just goes, boom, and it's like, and he's like, Loki's just like, yo, when am I going to become king? And then, what's his name? What's the king's name?
King!
No! And then,
King Triton?
No! Oh, what's the... And then the dad's like, King no, Ken? Thank you! Okay, can we just move along, please?
Like, so we've established that in those 19 films, what happened is Iron Man made a suit.
And then
Loki's
like,
brother hit a hammer, and the king said, dang. Thanos snapped his finger, and here we are. So...
Luis is my favorite character in this whole movie.
Maybe not favorite character, best side character by far.
Best side character in the MCU, I'm telling you.
Max, yeah.
Besides that one guy, Wong, from...
Oh, I do like Wong in the Doctor Strange films. Yeah, that's right.
I would love to see Luis just, like, show up in, like, Endgame at the end. Like, Cap's, like, running... Like, Cap or someone is, like, running around being like, yo, where is everyone? And then Luis is like, yo, man, it's crazy. This happened, and then this happened, and this happened. And then Cap's just like, what?
That has to happen at the beginning of Endgame when he comes out of the quantum realm. What happened? Yo, man, he's crazy.
And then Thanos
I was sitting there, and then all the fucking people, there's a powder flying everywhere, and people are like, dang, where'd my friends go? And then,
some big guy, like Purple Man, came down from the sky.
He's like,
that has to happen. Like, yeah. Make it happen, MCU. Make that happen. And then they can recap the events of the first movie and gold. And that there it is.
You don't even need to have Endgame. Just have like a 2-hour segment of just Luis talking, recounting the event.
2 hours?
I would sit through it. I would do it.
There it is. All right. Okay. This time we are picking up with last summer's release of Ant-Man and the Wasp, which was released shortly after Infinity War, but took place before Infinity War because it ends with the snap.
Yeah.
Which I remember the promotion for that movie was all about, why wasn't Ant-Man in the movie? Where was Ant-Man? So
Who cares? Because most people don't even like Ant-Man.
I like Giant Man.
Or Hawkeye. He's like, where's Hawkeye?
Who cares? Not gonna lie.
Still think he's the male version of Katniss Everdeen. Like, except Katniss was more important.
Back to Ant-Man
and the Wasp. Takes place immediately prior to the snap heard around the world, where Scott Lang has been under house arrest for 2 years since the events of Civil War. And after a quantum entanglement with Hope Van Dyne's mom and reaches out for contact, all of a sudden he is back as they're trying to save Janet from the quantum realm where she's been trapped for 30 years. So Hank is back into the suit and he is back in the world of Avengers form with 3 days to go before he is free from...
Not Hank, Scott.
Sorry. So Scott quickly goes back into form as Ant-Man to help Hope and her father bring back their mother from the quantum realm. So, to you both, what did you think of Ant-Man and the Wasp?
So, the first Ant-Man movie was just above sewer grime.
How do you feel about sewer grime?
A little bit of sewer grime has never done anyone bad, but still, doesn't do anything good.
I'm still trying to imagine.
This is
what that's
really
like.
Weird. So the first Ant-Man movie I did not like, aside from the supporting cast. The supporting cast was the only thing that saved the first movie, in my opinion. But this movie definitely brought the Ant-Man sort of story arc up a couple notches. It's definitely nowhere near amazing in Marvel standards, with past movies, in my personal opinion. But it was a really good movie my big reason is what you were saying about it sort of explains where Scotty was during Infinity War, because obviously during watching Infinity War, I wasn't really worried about that. But then after, I was like, why didn't Ant-Man come to help? Did he get snapped early or something? Like, is that even a thing? Who knows? Thanos has the time stone.
He was pre-snapped? Is that what you're...
Thanos has the time stone. Maybe he just went back and was like, flick. And then... But yeah, so I really did like the movie just because it did explain what was happening to the rest of the world while all of this was happening, I guess, down in Wakanda.
I thought it was way better than the first movie. I remember so many scenes in my head from the second movie better, like, more than the first movie. The only thing in the first movie, in my opinion, that was really good was Louise's storytelling in the first movie. And in the second one, they, like, topped it by, like, having him talk, like, really fast. And then that one guy, I don't even know his storyline in the movie, the plot.
Which guy?
The guy in the suit that's all like, so where is he literally
speaking?
Oh,
Birch.
Birch. Yeah. That's his name. I thought, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a businessman. He was the one that Hope was trying to get the component off of for the quantum realm portal thing. But then Hope played him and stole it, so then he was trying to get back at them. That's the reason he was there.
Okay, because I was really confused. I'm like, is this guy trying to take the realm for, like, money or whatever? Like, oh, look at this. Like, science. you use it for science.
For science?
I don't know, like, you have, like...
Go, science.
Like, sometimes they'll have those characters in movies where they're all like, I'm gonna use this, like, for money purposes, or, like...
Well, whatever. That was why he was taking it, but...
I know, like, he's so cliche, like, one of those side villains. I'm just like, okay, if you cut him out of the movie, it wouldn't really make a difference, in my opinion, anyway. All you need is that one chick. I can't even remember her name. She looks
Ghost.
Like... Ghost. That's her name?
That's what they call her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not... I think it was Ava. Her name was Ava. But
I said to Rob during the movie, I'm just like, yo, she looks like someone from Assassin's Creed or Mortal Kombat.
It's true, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one more than the last one. I don't think it's amazing, but I think after Infinity War, they wanted to give us something to make us laugh, because Infinity War is so dark in the ending.
Yeah.
And... so this film is going to pay off huge by the time Endgame comes around, I'm sure, because they've already mentioned about how when you're in the quantum realm, which I don't know if you noticed this, but they mentioned quantum realm more than once in this one. So it's
just a couple times.
Couple times they say the word quantum and phasing.
Quite a few.
You even said it like so many times during watching the film. I'm just like, Steve, if you say phasing one more time, I'm gonna like
quantum phasing.
To be exact.
That's how they explain everything. Quantum.
Oh yeah.
They mention about time playing an issue, and so there's this rumor that the time is going to, or that there's some sort of link between.
Oh yeah, that's what I was.
The quantum realm. Yeah.
And also all of, like, the healing properties with the quantum, whatchamacallit, that Scotty was trying to get right at the end.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know enough about the comics to know how they tie in, but I do know that there is some sort of link, and that's important.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. They wouldn't put it in there as much as they did if there wasn't a link.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's gonna be really necessary. But the thing I liked about this movie most is... it actually has a lot more fun with the size thing. So big, small, giant Pez, tiny car. You know, they had a lot more fun than the first movie. But the first movie, he surfs on ants, and I was like, I tapped out. That was when I was done. It was like, the first one was entertaining. This one was a little better. And I guess once you've established sort of the rules of the world, you can do that. I'm much more about Giant Man than I am about Ant-Man. I just think that's kind of
you know
more
that
fun,
scene
but...
in the movie where he's in the lake in the ocean or whatever, and he's like so big. There's this one movie with Jack Black in it. I can't remember what it's called, but it reminds
Gulliver's Travels.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen that scene, and I'm just like, yep, definitely. I'm just like,
yeah. So I feel like this movie was the right amount of fun. Like, it was silly. And I will say this. I appreciated the fact that the MacGuffin... you know what I'm saying when I say MacGuffin? You know what a MacGuffin is?
No.
It's a film term. It means the thing you're trying to get.
Okay.
So it's like your quest to get that thing. I thought it was kind of fun that the MacGuffin in this one wasn't like a vial or a stone. It was a whole building. And they were tossing this giant building around like it was a cardboard box. I thought that was kind of fun. It was a little, you know, they had a lot more fun with the concept this time, and it just wasn't terrible.
The one tie-in that I sort of made with like the fun sort of aspect of the movie, where they're sort of giving fans sort of a breather from all of the dark stuff going on, is Thor Ragnarok. I found that movie hysterical.
Yes.
I laughed so much during that movie, and it was almost like a breath of fresh air with everything that was going on.
Yeah, everybody liked Ragnarok other than me. I remember that podcast we talked about Ragnarok. That's the one of Phase 3 that I'm like, I will give it another chance. I'll watch it again. I know it's silly. It's supposed to be silly. But of all of Phase 3, that still is the weakest one, I think, to me. I love Goldblum, but...
people are saying Goldblum is the best part of the movie.
I thought he was, but... anyway.
Goldblum was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do like that, but... it was nice to... it was funny to me, too. Like, I think you said it, Mackenzie, because you hadn't seen this one, right?
No, I've only seen the end credits.
The end credits scene where when they disappear. And that was a part that everybody just wanted to see anyway. That's what everybody was talking about, was, oh, there's Thanos. Okay. It's like, oh.
Well, I mean, he's been in pretty much every single end credit scene with the Avengers in it, so.
I'll do it myself after, like, 10 or 12 movies sitting around and doing nothing.
Changing color 3 times, I think that's about all he did.
Yeah.
Like, first he was blue.
He was never blue.
He was blue!
He was not blue.
He was!
Look, I'm holding the Infinity Gauntlet right now. I have it with me. I did
you
not
You guys continue the podcast. I'm finding a picture of Thanos when he was blue.
All right. Anyway, I actually kind of liked this one. I liked it more watching it this time, I think, than when I first saw it. And I really enjoy his banter with the FBI agent. I don't know what his name is. Jimmy Woo. Randall Park plays Jimmy Woo.
Here's one time he was red.
When was that?
Google's wonderful, isn't it? I bet he's green in other pics. Anyway.
He was red after the first Avengers movie. He was blue after Age of Ultron. And then ever since then, he's been purple. Change color 3 times.
You know what about this film kind of bugs me? And it's so minor, but it bugs me every time I watch it.
He controls the ants?
No. Well, yeah. But his family is like, loves him now.
Yeah.
It's weird to say that.
Even the stepdad.
That's the one!
I'm just like, first off, I'm just like, who is this guy? Like,
Bobby Cannavale hates his guts in the first movie, and then...
And now he's all like, I love you now!
They're hugging.
Sure, why not?
Well, I mean, he did save his daughter, right?
I guess, but it's just so extreme. It's like... And it's not even like they can't be friends. And I do like Bobby Cannavale, right? But...
I guess that's sort of the point.
I guess. It was funny. But I just remember seeing it going, why now? He's under house arrest. And he's like, oh, come here. Give me some of that. You know? And it's like, oh, dude. Anyway. Minor.
The one thing that I found hysterical about the family was the mother always coming in and yelling at the police officers. And then the stepdad's like...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was good. That was good.
Like, she
you need a warrant. Actually, they don't.
She reminds me of myself sometimes when I act like I'm like dense and I'm just like yo, you don't even have a warrant. They don't need one. Like, they don't. No. Okay. Yeah, I'm just like, that's so me. Like,
you can't just do this. Yes, they can. You need a warrant. No, they don't.
Really? They didn't have much to do. That's it. They were only in it for a few short scenes.
The little girl was so cute, though.
She was good in this one. What did you think about the villain in this one? I mean, we've sort of got a couple of villains in this film. You've got Ghost. Yeah, but see, I think that's arguable for either of them. You've got Ghost and you've got Birch.
Yeah. Are kind of the main villains. And you kind of have his
Morpheus?
Yeah, Morpheus.
Yeah.
Ghost, she has a backstory. She
Bill
has
Foster.
A reason to do what she's doing.
Morpheus.
Sorry, go ahead.
Birch is just like there. He just pops up out of nowhere and be like, hey, I want this and I'll do whatever it takes to get it, even though you can't just do a different project instead. Like,
well, this one can make billions of dollars.
I know, but, like, he's willing to risk his life in order to get it. I mean, come on.
Would you risk your life for billions of dollars?
No, I wouldn't. Well,
I would risk my life for billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, and then not live to actually spend the money. Okay, that makes sense.
This is the moment where Riley turns to a life of crime.
I don't know. I just didn't like him as the villain. Like, the part main villain, I guess. I don't know, the side villain, whatever. He just shows up out of nowhere. And I was confused for most of the movie, be like, what is his goal? Like, is he like one of those cliche people that's just like, I'm gonna turn evil and use my greed for money to like...
Yeah, actually that's pretty much it, I think, with his character. There wasn't a lot of depth or backstory with Birch other than the fact that he was sort of wasn't he her tech dealer or something like that? He was getting her the high-end tech and she was under an assumed name.
And then we've got Ghost, who has had parents that have died because Hank was apparently too egotistical to, like, help them, I think. I don't remember much about that. But, and then they die, and then she gets these powers, let's say. And she needs to use the mom's... I can't remember what they wanted.
her quantum power.
Yeah, her quantum power in order to bring her fully so she's not shape-shifting anymore. Not shape-shifting.
Phasing.
Quantum phasing.
Quantum phasing.
Quantum phasing. But yeah, I liked her as a villain. I think she was, like, creepy in a sense. I'm just like, who is this person? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Some of them definitely did not need to be there. I agree with Mackenzie on the Birch thing.
Some of them? There was only two of them.
Well, no.
Was there more than that? No,
I would consider three.
The FBI does not consider an enemy because, like, they're just doing their job.
I would consider three.
Who's the third?
Birch, Ghost, and Morpheus.
Foster. Oh, Morpheus.
Who's Morpheus? Oh, the guy, right.
Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that Morpheus or Birch really needed to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because neither of them had real motive. Birch, I kind of understand, right? Because Hope played him, took his most valuable asset against them, so he's trying to get back at them. But still, he was taking it really far. You said it yourself. I don't even know why Morpheus was there, because, like, sure, they used to be partners, but that was, like, 30 years ago. Ghost is the only one that I understand, because she got hurt by the Quantum Realm and just wants to be healed. So I understand why she's trying to get the lab, to get the quantum healing powers. The rest of them, I get
where Morpheus is coming from, kind of, because...
I like that we're calling him Morpheus. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I kind of get where he's coming from because, like, he got fired. He got fired by Hank because he apparently was dumb or something along those lines. And he took Ghost in because he felt sorry for her and wanted to help her. Because basically Hank was responsible for Ghost's parents' death, I think.
Well, there was some issue with the quantum phasing. I don't know, whatever it is that killed her parents, there was some issue and they both died and she was left in this sort of flux phasing state.
Yeah.
But see, like, Morpheus is taking care of her. I don't think he has any interest in working with Pym, or it's not about revenge against Pym. It's more about getting to Janet, because isn't that the whole point? Is he's trying to use, or his plan is to use Janet to help stabilize Ava, who is sort of his ipso facto daughter type character.
I mean, I don't even think he's a villain. I think he was trying to do the right thing, but for the wrong, but he did it wrong.
Well, isn't that just almost every single villain
in
the MCU?
Yes, oh my god, now that I think about it,
we got Killmonger, we got Thanos,
but
we got Morpheus.
But he's
the
weakest one, though. Like, he's just a human, right? I mean, you've got Thanos, and you've got Ultron, who is not human.
Oh, I loved Ultron. He was a great...
Ultron? Okay, I'm not even going to get into
you mean
that.
Pinocchio. Well, you know, it's interesting you talk about motivation, because, you know, that's something that I want to talk about in this one, because we've sort of talked about Morpheus here, how he fit. I kind of stopped calling him Morpheus.
What's his real name in the movie?
It's Bill Foster. More Foster.
More Fosterius? That just sounds like it's like a bougie version of morphine.
More Fosterius. We've talked a little bit about that.
What are you addicted to? More Fosterius, man.
Oh, yeah. But one of the things I think about that's interesting about this is, in some ways, they mirror Pym and Ghost, because the end game, no pun intended, is the same. They're both trying...
Oh, I just got that.
Yeah, there it is. They're both trying to reach Janet.
It's a race against time.
Yeah, well, it is in this one.
Even though she's got like 2 weeks.
2 hours. She didn't have 2 weeks.
I think it's no, said, Ghost had 2 weeks.
Ghost, yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, because she says, I've got 2 hours before the next 100 years or something like that.
Like, we need to do this now. I'm just like, dude, you have 2 weeks.
Yeah, settle down. Watch some Netflix. I was wondering what you think the differences are between Ghost and Pym. Obviously, not the stuff like the fact that she can... is in constant phase and he's an old man. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking in their motivations in the movie. The father.
The father.
Michael Douglas.
Right.
Beardy McBeardison.
Sort of looks like he should be at a bookstore drinking cappuccinos.
Wait, are you talking about Hank?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Silly me. Yes, Hank okay. and Ghost.
The first thing I thought of, he's like, he looks like the guy from KFC. He looks like Colonel Sanders.
Yes, he kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think about the differences between their motivations? Like, compare them.
Obviously,
Ghost and
Hank
Pym.
Knows how to make the best chicken and...
My word. Aside from their cooking interests.
I think that Ghost wouldn't have actually been seen as a villain if she were to actually, like, not, like, team up with Hank, but, like, if Hank was the one to get to her, not Bill.
Okay.
Because if, like you said, they have the same end game, right?
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Yes. They have the same goal in mind, and if they were to work together, I have a feeling that all of this could have been avoided.
What do you mean, Riley?
Okay. I believe it would have been easier for both of them to reach their goal and get what they wanted if they were to stop throwing the building back and forth and just set it down and work together.
Okay.
But then Ghost was, like, too overshadowed by the fact that her parents were gone and that she had only, like, apparently, like, she had 2 weeks to live.
Yeah, well, that's the reason that I don't think, even though in my mind, in a perfect world, they should work together, Ghost wouldn't be able to work with Hank because she blames him for their death.
Right.
So they really don't have a lot of differences. They both want the same thing. They both want Janet back, just for different reasons.
So what are the differences?
Okay, so what are they basically different? Hank and what's the daughter's name?
Hope.
Hope.
Yeah.
They want her back because she's been there for 30 years. They miss her and they want her back. Ghost, on the other hand, wants to take her powers in order to save her own life. That's basically the difference.
I'd say that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Ghost's reasoning for why she wants Janet back is not evil per se, but, like, the way she did it...
Self-preservation is all it is.
Yeah.
It almost comes down to the way they view Janet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying is that, if I'm hearing you right, Hank and Hope want Janet back because they want Janet back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just want her powers.
That's...
No.
Ghost just want her powers. That's what I meant.
Ghost wants her powers regardless of whether or not Janet is safe. You know, they say, well, that'll tear her apart. Well, I don't care. You know, that's sort of the gist of what Ghost seems to keep reiterating. No, it doesn't matter to me.
She just doesn't want to be ripped apart.
I mean,
apart.
In that situation...
That's right. She doesn't want to be ripped apart.
It's like, I personally don't want to die, so I would do anything in my power to make sure that I don't die, but that's just me.
But what...
I'm not saying that she's like, I don't care, whatever. I'm just saying that, like...
You understand where she's coming from.
Yeah,
I think there's something understandable. I don't think she's a very strong villain in a lot of ways, because I just didn't think... you know what? She's emblematic of the movie to me. She looked cool. She was a fun character. There wasn't a lot of depth. It was just sort of a thing that, like, I didn't, her character was sort of bland, but it was really cool to see her face in and out of stuff. It was just fun.
Plus, didn't they say in the movie that S.H.I.E.L.D. trained her to be, like, a weapon, basically? I thought S.H.I.E.L.D. was, like, a good group. I've never seen
that. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s taken over by HYDRA at that point, right? Because didn't we find that out in Winter Soldier, that S.H.I.E.L.D. was just HYDRA at all this point?
I don't remember.
There were a couple people. Yeah.
There were a few people.
And then I'm just like.
HYDRA.
And then I'm just like, wow, okay, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not what I thought they were.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because there's a very high chance that I am wrong. But Black Widow, Natasha.
Romanoff.
She was also trained to be a killer. Was it by S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Initially, she was Russian. I think she was trained in Russian op that came to S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, because Hydra is not Russia.
Yeah,
Hydra is Hydra.
No. But S.H.I.E.L.D. has their convoluted ways of doing things.
She was trained by S.H.I.E.L.D. to be a weapon to kill people. All that. If that didn't happen, I feel like her whole perspective on the situation, her situation, would have been much different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. This sounds like I'm shifting gears, but I think I'm really just sort of maybe shifting back. But I was wondering what you think love looks like to you in this film, because what you described when we were talking about Hank and Hope trying to reach Janet, that to me is emblematic of love in some ways, but I think there's some stuff in this film that sort of talks about that. So what do you think love looks like in this film?
In this film, definitely going back to Hank and Janet. It is Janet, not Janice, right?
Janet, yeah.
Okay. So going back to Hank and Janet, I believe the love between them was willing to put everything on the line to save the other person. And that was shown in two different places during this movie.
Okay.
One was the big obvious one of Hank volunteering himself to be in the pod that went into the quantum realm. The second one was the reason why this entire thing happened. Janet putting herself in the quantum realm to save Hank and everyone else.
You're right.
From That's the right. nuke. Both of them, their idea of the love between them was selfless.
Mm.
Because it was willing to put everything, including their own lives, on the line if there was a chance they could save the other person.
As Riley was talking, I was thinking about Scott and his daughter in the movie. There's a scene in the movie where Scott is talking to his daughter before he goes off with the suit to the ocean, I think. And he's like, I don't want to go out there because I'm afraid I would hurt you. And then she's just like, I know you can do it. Go do it, you know? And he's just like, can't remember the rest of the scene. But yeah, basically, he doesn't want to disappoint her.
There's something sort of relentless about that sort of love, you know, going back to Hank and Janet, because he's been pursuing this for years, trying to break through. No?
No.
You don't think you think he gave up? What?
Well, Hank thought she was dead.
Yeah, but he already had the drawings laid out. He just didn't know if he would ever get anything.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I think, no, here's what I think happened.
Doesn't he open with him saying, I've always think about that day or something?
He always thinks about that day, yes. And I think immediately after that day, he probably did everything in his power to try and get her back. That's why he had the plans. That's why he was starting to make tech to do it. But then I think as time went on and his relationship with his daughter grew worse and worse, as I guess we learned more about in the first movie than in the second movie, I think he did start to lose hope, because he just, from what he understood about shrinking technology at that point, was that there was no way to come back from doing that.
It wasn't until...
It wasn't, yeah.
It wasn't
sorry.
Until Scott
came
got
back.
The dream, which was, in
no.
my opinion...
No, he's
it
right.
It wasn't until Scott came back from the quantum realm that he realized
because he did
it
in
was
the first
even
movie.
Possible.
In the first movie, he went into
oh.
the quantum realm briefly and came back. That's what he's saying.
See, I told you guys, I don't remember much from the first movie because it was so bad.
No, but he in the opening of the film that we just watched, he says that when Scott went and came back, that's when I knew.
Yeah.
Or that's when I
like,
started to think that I she
this,
might still be alive.
Because I remember in the movie, like, they were... Scott had the dream, and then Hope was just like... Oh, we were working on this technology, and then we got the phone call from you, so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, well,
that's when things started coming into place.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I hear what you're saying. See, when it's funny, when I was thinking about love in this one, too, one of the words that comes to mind is commitment, and there are several ways I see that. First of all, I think Hank's commitment to get her, the family's commitment to get her. I hear what you're saying about him having... not believing it could be possible, but I don't think he ever really gave up, but that's another story. But the other one that I saw, and this is one thing I really think of when I think of commitment, actually is Foster or Morpheus and Ava, because the moment that they have, there is a moment that they have that actually strikes me as a genuine love moment, and it's when she tells him to go.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm not leaving you. That is the first time I get the real sense of a sort of a love between them. And I don't mean it like the same type of love between Janet and Hank, obviously. I'm talking about a parent love. And even the fact that what is Hope so upset about with Scott at the beginning of the film?
Louise explains it in his story when he's like, oh, I don't know if I can trust him ever again.
Yeah, but why? But why? Because of Germany. What about Germany?
He went behind their backs and fought against the Avengers and, quote-unquote, destroyed the suit.
No, I hear what you're saying, and what you're saying is good. But I think it was just as much about him going to Germany and not asking her.
Mm.
Why would he want to ask her?
Wouldn't he? Like, she says that when they're in the van. Doesn't she say something to the effect of... You know, he says, well, if I had asked you, would you have gone? Because she sort of hints, like, you would have... Oh, and then she says, well, you would have never gotten caught.
Yeah.
But I think she
they
read that as
together.
A betrayal because they were together. And that was breaking that type of commitment to one another. That's how I read it.
Maybe he's like, oh, maybe I don't want you to get hurt. Maybe...
But that wasn't it. He explains it and says, they called me and it was happened so fast, so I just left.
And
they were mad because
petty. She's basically being petty, being like, yo, like...
Well, no.
I don't know if she's being petty. I mean...
Think about the relationship she grew up idolizing, her parents' relationship, something that wholesome and pure and selfless, and then to have someone just pick up and go to Germany without you.
He just picked up and went to Germany!
Of all places.
Went to visit Nicholas and Clemens. They were human, right?
Oh, shout out to Nicholas and Clemens. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, see, I mean, that was one of the things I thought about this love. You know, I talked about it, sort of mentioned it being relentless. But I think that stems from the commitment to the other person and keeping them safe, protecting the other person. And I think that's the issue of love that I see in this film, personally. Because there's something to me that resonates about them being together is better than being apart, whether it keeps you safer, which I guess actually, I think about it now, it kind of comes hot on the heels of Infinity War, where they're all split up. Well, guys, this was fun. I love chatting with you guys, and I am looking forward to the next time when we are back next month with Captain Marvel, which is even more directly tied into Endgame, even though it takes place 20 years earlier.
I
think it's
hope
in the
it's
90s.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff in play with Captain Marvel. This is their first female-led film. So we will be back the week after Captain Marvel with the next chapter in the Infinity warm-up with the crew, hopefully with a few more people. So, I mean, as we wrap up, Mackenzie, why don't you take us out of here?
To infinity and beyond.
No, that's copywritten. You can't say to infinity and beyond.
To infinity or beyond. Till the end game. I just wanted to do that.
Mr. Stark, I don't feel too good.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum.
What was that? Sort of like a ghost. No.
Like Baba Yaga.
Like Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga.
Who is Baba Yaga?
Baba Yaga.
The witch.
John Wick.
No, not John Wick.
Okay, well, I'm never going to
Has anyone seen my dog?
So where
Conspiracy
is he?
Conspiracy theory, that's how Thanos died. When he snapped, he killed John Wick's new dog.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, no,
it's the same universe. Oh my god.
It's like, no, what I'm trying to tell you is, what I'm trying to tell you is he's like there emotionally speaking. I was like, oh, okay. So where is he? Physically speaking. Oh, yeah, the forest. He's like, the forest?
I thought we were still talking about John Wick, and I got really confused there for a second.
I was talking about
Baba Yaga.